In the past few days, Iraqi forces have retaken most of Fallujah, which had been under ISIS control. It's a huge strategic and symbolic loss for the Islamic State. Fallujah is one of several key cities Iraq has taken back. But ousting ISIS is only one of the battles Iraq must fight as a country. Political feuds, ethnic tensions, and sectarian hatred have fragmented Iraq. Earlier this past week, I sat down with Luqman Feili, the Iraqi ambassador to the United States. In July, he's going to be leaving his post here in Washington. And we started our conversation by talking about the deep political divisions in his country. I asked him what he thought about recent suggestions by Kurdish leaders that Iraq just be split into three separate nations, Sunni, Shia, and Kurdish. It was an idea he said works in theory, but not so much in practice.
There always has to be an interdependency and a need for a mutual beneficial relationship between all the elements of the current existence of Iraq. So you cannot go and say, well, everybody have their own country. Even if we do that, we still need to talk to each other. We still have an issue of ISIS as a threat to the region as a whole. The issues of separations and others can be discussed. However, the constitution, which the Kurds have ratified and agreed to, talk about the unity of the country.
So why do you think Iraq, with all its disparate elements, with years and years of sectarian conflict, what's the case that all these parties are safer together than they are apart?
The wealth of the country, the geopolitics within the region, if all of these three entities aspire for democracy in a region which is not democratic, then you want them to work with each other. On the other side of it, let's say you go with a division. Why would it contain within the three borders? If you're promoting a new narrative based on nationality, ethnicity, and others, why would the current borders of Iraq be contained within that?
You're saying it's a slippery slope.
Where do you draw the borders? If the borders are artificial, such as those people are promoting it, they may have been, but
many people say that.
Well, that's a century now. Surely we have learned from over the century how to work with each other. So Iraq is already a diverse, complicated situation because of civilizations, history, and everything else. Mm-hmm. We have had generations of dictatorship, engineering, socially destroying the fabric of the society, engineered that way. Saddam Hussein did it in culture of wars and everything else. So this requires generational fix. Mm-hmm. So it's not an issue of separation. Separation is a magic, simple solution to a complicated problem.
How do you see America's role in that?
It needs to have that long view. The U.S., if its policy based on the next presidency politics or view alone, then unfortunately it will not be a cohesive policy. It will not be a long, effective policy. Because these issues require cultural change, require social change. So it has to be done by us. But we need the Americans and other countries to help us in governance, to certainly help us in getting rid of the tumors of ISIS, to give our politics a breathing space so that we can talk to each other in a more civil or in a more peaceful environment.
The United States, as you know, has spent over $2 trillion in Iraq since the invasion in 2003. That's a lot of money. There's a lot of fatigue among the American population about the investment. How do you keep making the case?
The tragedy is not that. The tragedy is 5,000 soldiers. The tragedy is maybe 50,000 plus injured, maimed, and others. The money can be generated, but lives going and so on. That's what I think we need to focus on.
But is that complicated to ask the U.S. government to keep writing the checks, but to let Iraq make the decisions?
Iraqis are a wealthy country. We never said to the Americans, we need boots on the ground now. On the contrary, we're saying we don't. Even we get pushed, we're saying no. This is our fight. But we need the U.S. to enable us with technology, with better intelligence sharing, with, for example, our pilots being trained better, faster. We need to go on a faster track in addressing our issues so that we can help you in addressing the global problem of terrorism.
You and I have been talking about the long view and the necessity of taking the long view. In that spirit, may I ask you to look back in time and tell me, for the average everyday Iraqi, is life better today than it was under Saddam Hussein?
Well, under Saddam Hussein, we had what we might call a republic of fear. People were not allowed to think. People certainly had not ability to change, to do anything about their lives. Now we have democracy, nascent democracy, I might add. Society is trying to be empowered. GDP per capita is 10 times better than during Saddam's time. So I don't think it's that aspect of it. We certainly have high expectations and aspirations as a society. we may not know what it takes to go there. We may want to jumpstart it. We may want to do shortcuts. For example, we try to fix issues with legislation, while in reality, we need to change the culture, not just legislations. So we need to have a long view of that aspect of it. So the Americans need to understand that. They need to understand the complexity of it. Unfortunately, people thought that only give them democracy and everything else will be on an autopilot. That's not working. That will never work. Why? Because the culture was not there. The region is not accepting it. Let me give you an example. Arab Spring. Tons of generations tried to change it. It was hijacked. Why? Because the politics was not there. It wasn't just an aspiration. You need the infrastructure of societies, NGOs and others to promote it and to guide it and to shepherd change in politics. That's not an easy aspect of it.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank
we
you
really
for having me again.
Time.
Wish you all the best.
That was outgoing Iraqi Ambassador to the U.S., Luqman Feili.